Father Kalivas, thank you very much for your words. I'm curious, in your opinion, you started with the Evangelion, and I assume that the reason you've started there is because you feel like it is the basis for the foundation for our services. I think that's a safe assumption. So my question is, in your opinion, is it acceptable to add or delete? And I sense that where I'm going with this question is, you know, we're all here and face these challenges of, well, my brother George passed away, and I'd like to say a few words before the service. I'd like to play a little bit of music before the wedding. I'd like to have this before or after the service.
That has nothing to do with the Evangelion.
But you see, so my question is, should, in a sense, the Evangelion be our model and guide so that there should be no more or no less in our services?
The Evangelion never even addressed issues like that. They weren't concerned about issues like that.
Right.
Those are pastoral concerns that not aren't indirectly related to particular services. And here again, within the jurisdictions in America, there are probably different approaches to these things, and probably with one diocese within the other may differ.
Right. It's
according
a dilemma.
To
it's
a bishop, according to the likes or dislikes, or perhaps even abuses that have occurred which have required curtailing certain things. Here again, I think pastoral sense needs to come into play. And if someone wants to say something at a funeral service, it's something that is acceptable in America today. So it's part of the, how should we call it, the cultural tradition. Mm-hmm. Now, what does this person say is the most important thing. I remember when I was a young priest, maybe a couple of months, 3 months, well, it had to be a little more than 3 months because the pastor left and I was left alone, so it had to be within 3-4 months. Let's say 6-7 months later, he got up, because it was a tradition that they would have to say something from these Greek societies. Somebody had to say something. So he got up and began, "If there is a God." So these are the kinds of things that, or somebody abuses the privilege and speaks for an hour and says nonsense. So you pull the plug, I guess, out of the microphone.
I just think it's such an important point that the services are there as the Orthodox Church has developed them and accepted them for over 2,000 years. And it is really not for the average whimsical idea to come into to change them.
Wait a minute. You said something sweeping here, that the Orthodox Church for 2,000 years has used the same prayers. No.
No, I didn't say that. I said they developed them over time and have modified, as you said, too, with multiple versions.
Because we
too.
Have these Orthodox priests as well as lay people who think that the liturgical life of the church is untouchable. It came from God directly.
Didn't say that. Okay. Thank you.
But the others are important issues, and they need to be discussed, and you need to have the guidance of your bishop on these things. But sometimes be very careful when you make these judgments that you're not left, because somebody very important, when you say no one speaks, and then you allow, some people to offer things, then you create a strata of people, who's important, who's not important, whatever. So you need to think these things out carefully.
Thank you, Professor Alkiviadis. Father, I have a question about language in translation of the liturgical text of the church. I'm very interested, and you would be, I think, the best person to address this from your leadership role. We in the Antiochian Church, as you know, use Elizabethan English, classical English, so to speak. I'll just call it classical.
So does the OCA.
Right, yes. And I think they're mixed. I think some do and some don't. But at any rate, could you address the issue of hieratic language, that is to say, elevated language in worship versus more pedantic language of the street? And where do you...
I'm not an expert in language.
Okay.
I'm not. But however, elegant language does not necessarily, the thys and the thous do not make English language elegant. I if we can only understand that the thous and the thees that we use now were used in Elizabethan times by common folk addressing each other. They addressed each other with thou and thee and whatever. So this notion and idea that we created, this supposed sacred language, this, what did you use before? Elevated language, is not necessarily so. You can get some modern Greek language, which is just as lovely and beautiful and elevated as ancient Greek language. And the same thing, I think, is with English. No one speaks today with thous and thees. And it makes God distant, in my interpretation, my understanding. I happen to go to this Holy Transfiguration Monastery, which is around the corner from the school, well, a couple of corners around from the school. And I bumped into one of the monks, and whom I knew from way back. And I said, you know, it's a wonderful thing that you're doing all these translations, but why in heaven's name do you persist in using this archaic English language? No one speaks that language today. Oh, he says, I'm shocked and surprised. How can you speak to God in any other language? The same kind of astounding nonsense I heard in the University of Thessaloniki several years ago when I was invited to participate in some event, and one of the professors asked me to come to the class to speak to the students. And after I spoke, a hand went up, and I acknowledged, and he said, I'd like to know, in what language do you teach at your school in Holy Cross? I said, mostly in English. Oh, he says, that's impossible. I said, what do you mean it's impossible? You can't teach Orthodox theology in any other language but Greek. And I said, who told you that? But it is something that is being cultivated among faculty people and very traditional people in Greece today. That only Greek is sufficient to teach theology. Everybody has forgotten that Orthodoxy says this idea of sacred language. There are only three sacred languages. We don't have that doctrine that there's a sacred language. All the languages of people are sacred. That's why Pentecost occurred. Huh? So I think that we can have elevated, elegant language that does not require this archaic English, my understanding.